Hi there, welcome to our daily devotionals. Today our passage comes from Mark chapter 11, and I just want to encourage you to open up your Bible and your Bible app and follow along with me, because it is quite a long passage. And so let's read Mark chapter 11 together. Verse 1. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, 'May no one ever eat fruit from you again.' And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, 'Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations? But you have made it a den of robbers.' And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him. For they feared him, because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered.' And Jesus answered them, 'Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, "Be taken up and thrown into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." And they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him. And they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do them?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Answer me." And they discussed it with one another, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But shall we say from man?" They were afraid of the people, for they all held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Amen. There's so much that we could talk about in Mark chapter 11. And I want to encourage you to continue to spend a little more time after hearing this devotional to really wrestle with the text and to understand what Jesus is really doing here as he is approaching, ultimately, his last days on earth. And, today I want to really just focus on the first 11 verses, which many of us know as the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Mark shows Jesus as this long-awaited king. And I want to make sure you know that the very title Christ conveys royalty. There is this kingship, this royalty that Mark is trying to point us to, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He's focused on the fulfillment of the Jewish hope that God is going to send an anointed king in the last days to defeat God's enemies and restore his people, even creation itself, to a state of everlasting peace. And the disciples knew this to some extent. They knew that Jesus is the Messiah. Earlier on in Mark chapter 8, verses 29 to 30, we see Peter declaring to Jesus, "You are the Christ." He didn't fully understand it then, but he had come to know through Jesus' ministry that he was the Christ. He is the Christ. As they had been serving alongside their master, they had been anticipating a future of greatness and glory. And even though Jesus has not disclosed his messianic identity yet publicly, he's performed countless miracles under the banner of God's kingdom. So it's no surprise that by the time Jesus arrives in Jerusalem for the Passover, public opinion has changed from one of skepticism to messianic. Verse 8 shows us that bystanders welcomed Jesus into the city by covering the roads with their cloaks. That was a proper way of welcoming someone with a royal background and identity. It's what happened during the coronation of King Jehu of Israel. In 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13, it says that the people quickly took their cloaks and spread them under King Jehu on the bare steps. Then they blew the trumpet and shouted, "Jehu is king." And similarly, the people here covering the road with their cloaks are saying, "Jesus is king." And some also spread out palm branches along the road, which symbolized Jewish victory through the promised Messiah. And they declared Psalm 118:26, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Then they say it again in verse 10, but with an emphasis on Jesus' royalty having come from the line of King David, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." This is truly a triumphal entry. But wait, how is Jesus installed as the King of Kings, the promised Messiah? Does he enter Jerusalem with a mighty sword riding on a war horse? No, Jesus, the King of Kings, enters humbly, not on a war horse, but on a colt, on a donkey. If you read this passage more closely, there's this tension between royalty and humility. And Jesus is reshaping our understanding and our expectations of who the promised King and Messiah is going to be. The only way that the world will experience restoration and everlasting peace is through the death of the King of Kings. And Jesus knew this. He knew that he was headed towards a shameful execution, and he prophesied that his crucifixion will happen in Jerusalem. In verses 9 to 10, as Jesus travels down the road on a colt, the people shout, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest!" Hosanna is often thought of as a declaration of praise, similar to hallelujah, but it is actually a plea of salvation, a plea for rescue. Literally, Hosanna means, "I beg you to save," or "please deliver us." So as Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem, the crowds were perfectly right to shout, "Hosanna." They were acknowledging Jesus as their Messiah. They let out a cry for salvation and a recognition that Jesus is able to save. Yet it does make me wonder in what manner they were expecting him to bring salvation. I don't think they had the cross in mind. The tragic irony of this scene is that the King of Kings knew fully well that his victory over sin and death will come at the cost of his very own life. Jesus entered Jerusalem, humbling himself by riding on a colt, to show that the very victory and salvation that they seek will come by humbling himself to death on a cross. And that is the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. God fulfilled his promise to send a Messiah who will restore our relationship with him and usher in a new kingdom of everlasting peace. The King of Kings humbled himself to death on a cross that we might be victorious in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for fulfilling your promises. Fulfilling, Lord, the prophetic words of a Messiah that will come to bring about everlasting peace and a restoration of your people. But Lord, as we see in this passage, Lord, we see this tension, God, of Lord expecting royalty and victory in the sense of, Lord, a complete instant restoration. But we see that the path towards victory and glory had to come at the cost of the very life of your own Son, Jesus. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. So much so that you sent your one and only Son to die so that we might have life in you. And so, God, as we continue to read through the Gospel of Mark, as we continue to read about Jesus' journey to the cross in Jerusalem, Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember Jesus, to remember, Lord, how your Son came into the world and how your Son, Lord, became victorious over sin and death through the cross. And so, Lord, we thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. I pray that, Lord, each and every person, Lord, as we listen to this devotional today, Lord, that we would continue to meditate on your word as we reflect on Mark chapter 11 today. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us in our daily devotional. I hope this was kind of a sneak peek into the rest of Mark 11. Let's continue to read, meditate on, wrestle with, digest this chapter together. And I hope that you will continue to be blessed through the Spirit. Have a great day.